Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. Sarah is here.
Good day.
And Chris is here as well.
Yes, I am.
The thrilling three in your ears, ladies and gentlemen. Now, trying to get a job can be difficult, especially whilst there is a pandemic, of course. Changing job, getting a promotion, going freelance, or moving to another company all come with their challenges, but also with their rewards. However, changing career is a whole different ballgame, where the stress of the change, but the potential fulfillment that comes thereafter, can be much greater. So then, ladies and gentlemen, today we are asking this. Have you ever considered a career change? Chris?
Can I start off? It's been inspired by poor Fatima recently, the dancer who's been encouraged to get into cyber.
Yeah. For those outside of the UK, our very wise and non-ridiculous government did a sort of a campaign recently, didn't they? Which, of course, during this pandemic, a lot of people are having to rethink, you know, what they do for a living and so on and so forth. Yeah, and they did a heavily criticised campaign with a little girl, Fatima, who was a ballet dancer or a ballerina, and was saying she's about to have a career change, but she doesn't really know it yet, or something like that. Horrible, draconian words to that effect.
Yeah. It smacks of, let's face it, let's, you know, men in a room going, who've got a secure job, going, we need to do a campaign. Oh, this won't annoy anybody, will it? And they're clearly don't have any sort of friendships outside of their own circles in politics.
And I just love that it said her career was going to be in cyber. What is cyber? Cyber's not a thing.
No.
Hold me close to cyber dancer.
Yeah. Anyway.
So Chris is going to be retraining as a ballerina.
Yeah, exactly,
why not? Stick it to him.
Let's forget that nonsense for a minute and just concentrate on the purity of a career change.
Yes. So you asked me, have I ever considered one? Yes, I have, Marcus. I obviously, as listeners will know, was previously had a career at the UN and I had various roles within the UN in the UK. And now I am training to be a church leader. So that's quite a major shift.
Well, you're a vicar.
Yes.
You've studied and everything. You are officially a vicar. That's a protected title as well.
Not yet, I'm not.
Oh, you're not? No, oh, you could fail.
Yeah, I could do. So I'm training to be selected. And then after they select me, then you go through a process the bishop will ordain you and then you can start to do vicary type things. But at the moment, I'm in training.
I'd pick you as a vicar, Chris.
Thank you.
Well, in my head, you already are. I don't want to jump the gun. I feel like I already have. But that is a huge career change, though. You went from United Nations, as I say, older listeners will remember. We have mentioned this before, but I personally find it a very interesting thing. And I've no doubt Sarah does, and the listeners as well,
talking
on behalf of the masses. Mm. But you did.
You are the voice of the people.
So I say. but you, what prompted it? Like, did you find it quite daunting? Because presumably the financial... rewards, you know, but that is a huge consideration. You had a job at the UN. I mean, I can remember you've told me stories about, you know, you've traveled a lot, you dealt with some incredibly unfortunate people in the forms of whether it be refugees or, you know, people from war-torn countries, all this kind of stuff. But you know, you also talk to governments like the Scottish government, UK government as well, and so on, but financially, you know, that job would have been more secure potentially than, say, training to be a vicar. As you say, you haven't kind of got over the line at the moment, but that is obviously the plan.
Yes.
So you kind of went back to being a student really for a bit. That's a huge change.
Yeah, it is. It was, I'd say it was quite a long process in terms of the thought patterns behind it all.
Yeah.
I actually remember having a good chat with you in the pub, actually, when I first started thinking about it.
Don't do it.
Yeah. No, I remember your exact words were, Chris, everyone who knows you would say, this is you. This is the sort of thing that, you know, you're called to, for want of a better phrase. And I remember you saying, it's not like when your mates sort of have a bit of a dip in their career and they want to be an actor, and you're like, nah, you ain't going to be an actor. Yeah. Just, you're not going to do it. Like, let's
just be honest about
it. Yeah, exactly.
Start a band.
Yeah, you're 36. You've got three kids. You ain't going to start a band now, mate. So yeah, so it was quite a long drawn out process for me. I guess I always felt I wanted to do this type of thing, but if I'm going to be brutally honest, I used to think people who did this were just copping out. I just thought, oh, you've kind of given up on your career or life.
Or becoming a vicar.
Yeah, I really did. I thought. Yeah, it's bad, isn't it? Now I'm doing it. I'm like,
I just,
it looks like an easy job. When you watch things like The Vicar of Dibley or those, or Father Ted or any of those things, like, because I wasn't raised as an Anglican. I wasn't raised in the church. So I was kind of an outsider looking in. And yeah. I just thought, oh, it looks a bit cozy. And now I'm doing it. It's flipping brutal. Like, you know, they work long hours and care about everything and anyone on their patch, or they should do. And so actually now I'm, you know, part of my training is I doing the degree, as you said, I'm a student, and then it's working in a church near where I live. And one of my dearest friends is the vicar there. So it's a bit of a cushy number, but he works. I've never known someone work so hard and so much. Like, it's a full on job.
Oh, but you're all things to all people.
Yeah. And you are, like, you know, he'll say, so we recently started a food bank during lockdown because basically every day people were banging on his door saying, we're losing our job, I can't feed my kids. So as a church, we rallied around the community and we're like, okay, well, we need to do something about it. Or a CAP jobs club, or we've just started a new charity helping families with additional needs because services have been cut so drastically. Yeah. They literally don't know where to turn. And when you've got the big building on the hill, people just kind of come to you. So I guess my career change was... in heart, quite similar. Like, the reason I loved working for the UN was because you were helping people. And I think maybe part of it was that I really wanted to do that on a local level, like the people next to me, you know, loving my neighbor and that sort of stuff. But it was a long process, and you do have to ask yourself questions about, as you said, finances. I remember talking to my wife about it at the start, and she was like, you didn't tell me this when we got married. But I didn't know, to be fair. Yeah. And her big concern was that she was just like, it wasn't really for us. It was actually for our kids, or our, you know, we didn't have kids at the time. She's like, it's not an easy life being a vicar's kid. Like, they'll probably get the mickey taken out of them quite a lot, and that sort of stuff. So all these things that, you know, there's a lot of thought process that has to go into it.
That's quite interesting. You were saying about that, sort of your wife's reaction, Chris. Did you have any kind of negative response when you told people that you were changing careers to go into the church? Because I know some people have quite a lot of baggage around church and religion and all that kind of thing.
I think disbelief. I think that was definitely when I told my old boss at the UN, who was an incredible boss. She's amazing. And I loved my old job, and it sounds good. Like, let's be really frank about it. I'll go to a wedding, you know, hey, what do you do? I work for the UN. Immediately people go, that sounds cool, tell me about that. And now it's like, you know, I'm training to be a vicar, and everyone's like, oh, what's on the buffet cart type thing. So I think it's almost, there was a bit of disbelief. And I think obviously more and more kind of the prominence of church within our society is taking more of a back step. So therefore people are almost like, why would you go from this you know, major organization with power to something which is seemingly to a lot of people irrelevant. But actually on the local level, it's far from irrelevant because it is trying to help people on a day-to-day basis.
You are incredibly judgmental though, Chris.
I try not to. That's not helpful.
I jest, of course. What about you, Sarah? Any career changes that we need to know about?
Well, actually, to be honest, I have worked in the same industry for my whole working life. I've never had a big change. Well, I mean, firstly, I don't like change. I'm not good at change. But also, just I've been extremely fortunate in that I've always known that I wanted to work in the media. I think when I was younger, I thought I was going to be this like hotshot investigative journalist uncovering corruption at every turn, which I quickly discovered was not the sort of thing I wanted to do. But I think I've kind of done a bit of a pivot in my career in that I don't do a lot of writing anymore. Which when I changed to do that, some people kind of said to me, oh my goodness, are you not going to miss that? And you know, oh, is it not a bit boring without writing and stuff like that, which I absolutely don't find. I love the job that I currently do. But no, I've always worked in media, and at least for the foreseeable future, I can't see that changing. And, you know, I currently work at The Guardian. I love working there, especially in such a absolutely wild time that we're having. It's an amazing place to be. Yeah. So once again, boring Sarah is back. I can't really see myself having a huge career change anytime soon. Am I boring?
But if you're happy where you are, then why would you change?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there was a study done saying, you know, why people change careers. 47% wanted better pay. 39% said their current job was too stressful. 37% wanted a better work-life balance. 25% wanted a new challenge. 23% said they weren't passionate about their current job anymore.
Yeah, well,
so these are the reasons.
Well, it's interesting. So the job that I used to work at HuffPost, and I loved that place. I had so many wonderful friends there. It was an amazing job. I loved it. And I had no intention of leaving. And it was just one of those things where this job came up and I just thought, whatever, I'll just bang in an application, see what happens. And when I got it, I was like, oh, right. So I didn't really have any of those things of being like, you know, I've been there with a previous job where it was like, I hate this, I just have to get out. It was none of that. It was kind of just like, oh, I guess I'm leaving then. I guess it's a new job.
Have you ever daydreamed of doing something else? Have you ever thought, oh, you know, if in a parallel universe, I would do this?
Oh, actually, yes. But considering what you said earlier in the show, I now feel very embarrassed saying this. If I could snap my fingers and have a different job, I'd be an actor.
Ooh. Really?
Yeah, I would have loved to. If I had been a braver person, I would have pursued that when I was younger. But don't pay the bills. Well, for some people it does, but it's very hard to pay the bills with it.
Yeah. I mean, that is quite, yeah, that would be quite a change. I mean, going back to the studies here, Chris, you're the one who had the career change. The benefits to a career change, 77% said they were happier once they'd changed career. 75% reported being more satisfied. 69% said they were more fulfilled. 65% were less stressed. Now, those statistics really do paint a very rosy picture for those who have had a career change. Now, I know you're still, your training or whatever
is
not complete. You're in the process of it, but I mean, it is a career change, really, and certainly in practice. Do you feel that are you happier doing what you're doing now?
Yeah, 100%. There's never a day that wakes up where I think I made a mistake, or there's never a day. So I'm over two years in now. Mm-hmm. There's never a day. There's days you wake up and you're like, oh my gosh, it's a busy day today. But I never think, oh, I made a mistake, or I wish I hadn't done this, or there's nothing else I want to do. It's really interesting. Like, it did take a few years to get there, as in even mentally for me. But yeah, no, definitely the kind of fulfillment is sky high. And it's interesting you say that, because I was looking before, and then the average age of someone who changes career is about 39. And so I wonder if, I wonder if partly it's, and I'm 38, so I got a little bit ahead of the curve, but I wonder if partly it's because you've kind of given it a go in the area you start off with, and then, you know, things come along, don't they? You either leave university or you start training, you get a job, and then you move out and you've got to pay the bills, and then relationships come along, and this life kind of just unfolds. And then maybe like mid to late 30s, you start to be like, okay, is this really what I'm going to do for the second half of my life? And I think that's the thing. You start to really think, what is it that I'm interested in? What gets me up in the morning? And I think that was the big thing for me, is that the stuff before, it did get me up in the morning, literally, but it wasn't the thing that got my juices going. And it was a brilliant job. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that was the key thing for me. I was like, this is a fantastic job with fantastic people, great opportunities.
I think in your 20s, people can change jobs. It's not necessarily a career. A lot of people don't have a career in their 20s per se. And then in your 30s, you're beginning to think, oh, what do I like? Whereas by the end of your 30s, in your late 30s, you kind of think, well, where am I? Am I where I want to be?
Yeah.
Because I think once you go beyond that, of course you can change. You can change at any working age. But I think that's a kind of a pivotal time that I understand why you'd say the statistics suggest it's 39, that when people start thinking, and also maybe at that age people are thinking about having children, or they already have young children and they think, right, okay, this, I need to speed up now. I need to kind of do this while I while it's a little bit more simple or straightforward.
Well, yeah, well, maybe the goals that they kind of set themselves, they've hit in a way, like, you know, they might have done well, or some people's goal is to buy a house, or, you know, or to get married or have kids or whatever your life goals are. And maybe they've hit all those things and they're like, oh, there's something else I need to do. So you kind of explore, what you want. It is really, I really was like, two things. What am I going to do for the rest of my life? I've got, you know, whatever, how many years left before I retire? And also, what won't the machines take over?
Yeah, there you go.
I, for one, am looking forward to having robot vicars.
Yeah, well, cyber vicars now, according to our government.
Oh, true. Chris, it's really interesting. I remember a few years ago actually having a really good chat with you, because someone who I know had been through basically two quite drastic career changes in, I think, probably about as many years. And I was saying to you, like, oh, it's quite a lot. And, you know, is that a bit much? And I remember you saying, Sarah, like, now is the time. When you're still in your 20s, if you don't like something, have a go at something else. Now's the time for experimenting. Like, you don't have to get stuck in something that you're not into. And as I said, I'm quite a change averse person. That definitely made me be like, yeah, that's actually a really good point. And it made me not feel so worried about that person and their career changing.
Marcus, I was gonna say, I used to have a brilliant CEO who he said to me, basically, your 20s are really for finding out who you are in the workspace, what you're good at as well, you know, get good at that. He's like, your 30s are really for like solidifying that. And then he was like, you really want to be starting to start to lead in that area in your 40s. Basically, he said to me, get to where you want to get to by the age of 50, so that you can then see out the last 15 years of your career kind of at that point, and you'd have got the experience and you'll enjoy what you do a lot more. And I definitely kind of think there's value in that as well. Like, you know, if you're in your 20s and you're not sure about your job, try other ones. You can always go back, you know, you've got more skills.
I find it incredible with professional footballers from the age of 11, 12, 15, they're dedicated. They think, right, this is what I've got to do, or dancers, or, you know, ballerinas, poor old Fatima. You know, that's what people, you know, in a sense, take the footballers as an example. They choose their career very, very early on, and then they have to choose something usually radically different by the time they're in their mid to late 30s. Yeah. Now, not all of them will have lots of money in their pocket afterwards. A few of them will, but not all of them. But I find, staying with the kind of football examples, there's a manager currently, QPR manager, Mark Warburton, who I find this quite a heartening story. He was a trader in the city, I believe, and was just coaching a little, like a secondary school, I think it was, in Chorley Wood in Hertfordshire, around there. And he said to his wife, I think he was in his early 40s, he said to his wife, look, I've always wanted to be a football manager. He said, we've got enough money in the bank. You know, he's financially secured. The house is paid for. Our lifestyle won't change. But I want to do this. I really, really want to give football management a go here. And he said, I just want to do, maybe see what happens, maybe the next 10 years to achieve something in the game. You know, it's now or never, is what he said. And he left his trading job in the early 2000s and spent a lot of money traveling around Europe, watching coaching sessions, learning the trade and so on. And he eventually got hired by Watford as their like under nines coach through to their under 16s. And he was academy coach. And then since then, he's been Brentford manager. He got them promoted to the Championship. You know, and you now look at Brentford, a proper established Championship side. He got Rangers in Scotland back into the top flight. Didn't do so well at Nottingham Forest, but he still managed, you know, a huge club like them, and he's managing Queen's Park Rangers in the Championship. He's done bloody well. Now, the risk was obviously offset by the fact that he was financially secure, but my goodness, I give him all the props in the world for having done that, because he could have just stayed and went, but you know what, I'm making a lot of money here, so...
Yeah.
I think it's a fair play, an amazing career change.
Because football has certain narratives around it as well, doesn't it? Where you need to, maybe you need to be, have been in the game all your life to be respected in it. And to get in into the game so late, mm-hmm. you know, because even top managers who never had a top career, say, you know, people like Arsene Wenger or Jose Mourinho come to mind, who, you know, they weren't top, top players, but mm-hmm. they were still in the game
yeah.
much earlier. So, like, that's incredible to actually have the bottle to say, I'm still going to crack it. I'm still yep. going to go through it. And it really pioneered getting into the game very late in life.
Think of Maurizio Sarri, who, you know, not that long ago was managing Juventus and yeah. Chelsea and Napoli, for crying out loud. And his is a similar story to Warburton's. But what about other prominent people, though, who have had quite drastic career changes, Sarah? Donald Trump leaps to mind.
And what a successful career change that was.
Also, yeah, he went from
Oompa Loompa to perpetual tweeter.
Or Arnold Schwarzenegger. Ronald yeah. Reagan.
Yes. Well, actually, it's funny you speak about Ronald Reagan. I was reading something the other day about quite a lot of actors who only hit the big time later in life. So did you know Morgan mm-hmm. Freeman only got his big part in, I think it was Driving Miss Daisy when he was 52.
No.
Really?
And there was, Alan Rickman was in his, I think, late 40s.
Kathy Samuel Bates L. Jackson.
In her 40s. Yes, Samuel L. Jackson. Notably, quite a lot of them are men, which, you know, there is a bit of an age problem in Hollywood. But I find uh-huh. that quite heartening of all these people who, you know, we think of as these, like, Hollywood giants who actually, you know, yeah. they weren't, you know, famous when they were younger.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of people who change career and get into politics? I mean, obviously, I've mentioned Trump and Schwarzenegger, but some people do that. Sarah,
Boris Johnson. Wasn't he a journalist first?
Technically speaking.
Loosely use that term.
Cynthia Nixon from Sex in the City.
Yeah, she's, of course.
I don't know if she's... I don't know, is she... She was running for... I forget now the
New
position
York
in the New York...
Senator, governor, my... US politics is not good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But she's very politically active, certainly.
Yeah, yeah. I think there are some people, Donald Trump, who are doing it for their own personal gain. And then there are some people on, you know, both sides of the political spectrum who are doing things genuinely because they care about it. And I think as long as they're a person who actually cares, who is intelligent, who is prepared to do the research, make sure they're informed, hey, why not crack on? But don't just do it for personal gain, I would say.
Don't do it for personal gain. Some people, especially when they're younger, in their 20s, as we spoke about it, you know, people say give a job at maybe a year or two and then move on if it's not for you. Now, you have to be careful with that. You can't change jobs too quickly as you'll look suspicious to employers. I think there's a bit of a stigma around constantly switching jobs. But I think it is good to try stuff out. But do you remember when Scottish actor Peter Capaldi stepped down from his role as Doctor Who? I mean, I don't particularly care for the show, but it is loved in this country. He said that he doesn't like to be in the same job for more than 3 years. Now, again, he was in that role for, I think, 4 years now, a very successful actor and, again, financially secure. So it's easier when you're in that position. But I found that quite interesting. And according to official statistics in the US, on average, people stay in a job for just over 4 years.
I can believe
younger
that.
People tend to move around a bit more, obviously, than older people.
Well, it's interesting. Actually, a former boss of mine, I remember him once saying to me, once you start getting comfortable in your job, that's the time to move on. Don't ever get too comfortable.
Really?
And I was like, but I love being comfortable.
Do you think that 4 year marker is also to do with, on the other side, that there's very few jobs for life anymore? Actually, it's sometimes it's not even... You know, that the idea of loyalty between employer and employee is not necessarily a dominant thought in the workplace anymore. So because you think your employer might not be loyal to you, you just think, well, I don't need to be loyal back either. And that idea of a job for life is kind of gone now.
I do also think there's something to be said about the money aspect as well, in that the way you're most likely to get a decent pay rises to move jobs. It's not to just slowly, you know, incrementally increase your salary at a company. Depressing, but true.
Yeah, I think the loyalty thing is definitely a factor, but I think also these days, you know, that with so much opportunity certainly dangled in front of us. I mean, obviously due to the internet and but also ease of travel, I suppose the consumerist culture that we're in, the prospect of a career change or a new job is more achievable, or it's more of a temptation. And I think sometimes we're spoilt for choice, actually. Yeah. You know,
I think we're also aware of other sort of jobs and careers more than ever. And as you said, maybe because of the internet and because we consume more information now than we've ever done before, you know, in the history of humanity. So you're just more aware of opportunities and other jobs that might be there. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when you'd see a careers advisor at school, they probably only had a list of about 8 jobs that they'd recommend you for. Yeah. It was very limited.
But they were pre-internet days.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Indeed, indeed. Sarah, you asked the listeners earlier about
career
changes.
We had quite a few interesting ones, actually, which I will share with you. We had one from Ro Wilson, went from acting, keeps coming up, from acting to nursing. And she said, I've just finished my degree now. Best decision ever.
Nice one.
Which was nice. More negative one was your friend and mine, Kithrin, who said... Uh-huh. I started a teaching degree and lasted only a term. Being a teacher would be a nightmare.
I've heard that story a few times from people, not just about your friend, but about a lot of my sister did that. She trained as a teacher and she didn't last longer than, I think, maybe 6 months. She's like, you know, you want to get into it because, you know, there's a heart to help the kids, and you get in there and you're like, yeah, I can't do that with
this. This was a huge mistake.
I hear that a lot.
Well, teaching is an interesting one because teaching is often advertised as the career change that you need. Every day is different.
Yeah.
You're dealing with, you know, incredible people, and they really do try and sell it to you. But as you say, Chris, I know a couple of people who have tried it and gone with it.
Well, would you believe
that could be London for you.
The final one we had from Ruth said she went from casting director to personal trainer to teacher.
Mm-hmm. Incredible.
Which is quite a twist and a turn, but I guess you can kind of see a thread of, you know, where people have certain things, you know, working with people and that kind of stuff. You know, you can do quite a varied mixture of careers whilst including the same skills.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I think Ruth is an example to us all, quite
nice
frankly.
Nice one, Ruth.
Do you want to know the day that is the most likely that people quit during the year?
Ooh.
Friday.
Go on.
That is a day. Yeah, it is actually. So it is actually supposed to be Friday the 31st of January.
Yeah, I knew it was in January, but I didn't realise it was that.
I think isn't the theory because you've had a Christmas break, you've thought about it, you know, life and what you want, and then you go back to work for a bit, and then you realise this isn't for me, and then you see it out for a few more weeks, and then you quit, and then you're done at the end of January.
That absolutely makes sense, actually. Yeah. Well, we'll check in the new year, shall we, and see what we're all up to then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Chris will be a ballerina by then.
I can't wait.
Certainly. Well, they say that a lot of places said this, that it's time to change your career. If your job is impacting your self-esteem, you're only in it for the money, or you're eternally bored. So make what you will of that, ladies and gentlemen.
I've got, do you want to hear my favourite career change? I Googled prominent career changes apart from Donald Trump. Is Pope Francis used to be a bouncer in Buenos Aires.
Ah, lovely.
And now he's God's bouncer.
And Harry Styles used to be a baker. Yeah, oh, well, very good, very good.
Yeah. Well, you certainly wouldn't want to cross him, would you?
Certainly
right, ladies and gentlemen, on that fantastic gag, we'll end the show. thank you very much for those who contributed to answer some questions this week. At AQQA Pod is where we are on Instagram and Twitter. And, of course, if you want to email us, show@aqqapod.com. So lovely old job. Have a nice career change. If you do, let us know what you're thinking and what you're going to go for. We're absolutely fascinated. Until next week, though, thanks very much, Sarah.
Thanks.
Thanks very much, Chris.
Cheers.
Thank you, listeners. See you soon.